Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise podcast. My name is Chris, and today on this fine, chilly November Sunday, I am joined by my best friend in the whole wild world as we descend upon episode 89 of the podcast, Mr. James D. Dowdy.
Hello, everybody.
That was an awful introduction.
It had something to it.
I wanted to put descend into, you know, as we descend into the madness.
Into the December. Descender? Ooh. No. Awful.
Soon we'll have that. Thank you everybody for joining us on what is, like I said, this Sunday, the 17th of November. We are over halfway mm-hmm. through November.
Yeah, we're really kicking the
ass. Are you doing Movember?
No. I literally shaved yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not doing
this. This is 17 days. This is all we got.
Yeah, I know. I got
it's barely even a brace.
Do people still do Movember?
I think so, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. No, it's been replaced now with the other one.
No Nut November.
No Nut November.
See, I think for me, No Nut November is going fantastically because every time I want to eat a nut, I just stamp the urge out by masturbating.
Smart. A couple of people have misinterpreted the old, you know, NNN.
Yeah.
It's Nine Nut November.
Oh, nine.
It's been a painful month.
Yeah, I'd say so. No, yeah, it has been replaced, actually. Yeah, Movember is not really
I mean, because you think about it, you know, the Movember was to raise money for, I believe, prostate cancer.
Right? Was it? Sure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, okay.
And now just by doing that, you know,
not November,
you're probably hurting yourself.
Yeah, hurting, exactly.
You're causing prostate cancer. So,
Jesus.
Like they really did a big 180 on
that. Guys, get back on the game. Enough of this.
This madness has gone on long enough.
I think you're gonna have dry January soon enough.
Dry January,
October, dry
sober
January.
October, yeah.
There's none for December, I don't think.
Because December is the month of
giving.
Oh, yeah, giving,
yeah.
And receiving and sharing.
Yeah. Perfect time to come after No Nut November.
It's like a gluttonous month.
It is December.
Yeah. You're supposed to sort of.
Indulge.
Treat yourself. Indulgent. That's what it is.
An indulgent month.
You know, you're going to have big meals. You're going to have turkey dinners.
Yeah. People have got to spend a lot of money.
Chocolates, etc.
Yeah. Well, we're actually coming up to Thanksgiving and what do you call that? Black Friday,
yeah.
You got to buy anything?
I don't think so. I haven't had the urge.
Yeah. I haven't got the urge, is right. I'm stomping that urge out. No, me either. I have nothing kind of. Maybe a game or two. I see something nice.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean,
I rarely find games.
Whenever you see the offers, you're kind of like, oh, I wouldn't mind that. But the last couple of years, I was actively planning for it. I was like, I want to get this on Black Friday.
You buy your Switch on Black Friday?
No. Well, maybe fuck. Because there was a funny story with that. I was like looking at them for a couple of weeks. And then the day I decided to go ahead and pull the trigger on it.
Laura bought one as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, fuck.
Right enough, yeah. So maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe I might get two more.
I have a bit actually on Nintendo later on, but we'll get to that in the news. But first of all, on this day, in November, I'll run through a couple of historic facts. 17th of November, 1558, Elizabeth I, who is aged 25, ascends upon the English throne upon the death of her half-sister, Queen Bloody Mary. Do you know anything about Queen Bloody Mary?
No.
No, me either.
No. Bloody Mary sounds like she had like quite an eventful reign.
1800, Congress holds its first ever session in Washington, D.C. in an incomplete Capitol building. Ecuador and Venezuela are separated from Greater Colombia. The Suez Canal in Egypt opens, linking the Mediterranean and the Red Seas. And the last Sultan of the Ottoman Empire is expelled to Malta on British warship.
There you go. A lot of big things happening on this day.
Oh, 1970. Douglas Engelbart receives the patent for the first computer mouse.
There you go.
I don't know.
The one who decided to call it a mouse?
Maybe. I wonder why.
Such a strange. I think it's because it just looks like a mouse.
Maybe. 2003. Cool. Britney Spears, at 21 years old, becomes the youngest ever singer to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
21.
Mm. Is the Hollywood Walk of Fame just for musicians or is it actors?
No, actors as well.
Yeah. How many are on that?
Probably a lot.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think as well, it's like, it's one of those things where, yeah, once you're like eligible to do it, you have to pay, for it and all.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I
it's not just like we're going to do it out of the goodness of our own heart.
That's what I thought it was.
They're like, yeah, you're eligible. You can do it, but it's like.
Was Harvey Weinstein on it? No.
Don't know. So no,
I hear something about that. Whatever the whole Weinstein thing,
busting his up or something.
Yeah. Maybe
could have been.
I don't know. Possibly, but who knows? I mean, celebrities, right? Speaking of which, I'm a Celebrity starts back up tonight. I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here. For anybody who lives in the States, listen to us. It's like a shitty reality show where celebrities get thrown into a jungle in Australia.
It's probably the best reality show.
Probably.
Yeah. It's something I would ever watch, and I have stopped watching.
I used to watch it, and then, exactly. Do you know what ruined it for me? The social media just ruined.
Oh yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
People voicing their opinions.
It started getting a bit shit for me, and reality television in general is like whenever other reality TV celebrities go onto a reality TV show, it's like you're not a celebrity.
Yeah, you're a celebrity
because you were on reality TV.
Yeah. Do you mean like if people like from Gogglebox? To like,
or even like Big Brother contestants or X Factor.
They start making their way into these. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not the winners of those things, just contestants, like, just people who were in it.
Yeah, because the winners are probably too busy doing proper celebrity stuff.
I get sick of it. Although a couple of people, like famous enough people, are going into this year.
Yeah, apparently. But this is what I think, right? I think we should have like, so this year you have like, you have Caitlyn Jenner.
Is that who it is? Yeah. Caitlyn Jenner.
You have James Haskell, the former English rugby player. You know him? A couple of like Radio 1 presenters and TV quote-unquote personalities. So you have a couple of those going into it. But like, I think Caitlyn Jenner is like the big one.
Yeah, that's the big get.
But what I think they should do is like do like a proper cream of the crop year where they get like the highest.
Oh yeah.
Like, imagine like the
like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Barack Obama. Tom Cruise. Maybe like... like a really high up, like a bishop or cardinal in the Vatican or something.
I doubt that would happen.
Why not? Like, you know, throw the big names at it.
Get them all out.
Imagine the viewership that would get. Like
the Pope.
But did you hear this year? They're not allowed to use any live animals.
Oh, right.
So like, how do all the trials work?
I don't know. I suppose they could just do those ones where it's like, you know, like high wire and falling off of stuff and fucking.
That's so boring, yeah.
I can't, no more like pouring
millions of insects into people and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
See, I was never mad about those. You know those ones where it's like, we're just trying to creep this person out?
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there going like, oh, fuck, I hate that so much.
Yeah.
Whereas other ones where it's like, kind of like, you're like...
it's a proper fear.
Yeah, it's like, you have to walk across this tight line at like 100 feet up.
Yeah.
And it's like, getting us 6 stars. And you're like, oh my God, that's insane. But it would be kind of cool.
No more eating challenges as well.
I think they got rid of that a while ago, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. Which they became very famous for those. They were great. Yeah.
No, none at all. Like, and they can't even eat like, you know, like,
I don't think
the
so.
Cooked food. You remember they used to have to eat like, you know, like bull testicles and stuff like that?
I don't think so. I think it's still deemed like animal cruelty now.
Mm, fair enough. I mean, it'll be no meat next.
True.
They'll have to be vegan forest or jungle people.
No meat May?
No meat March?
Actually.
No meat March, is it?
No, actually... yeah, no meat May is better because you have Mass Effect March coming, don't you?
Are you just making this up? There's no meat May?
Yeah, 100%. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, I'm eating meat in May.
We need something for every month, like, you know. But you have Mass Effect Madness in March.
That's not going to happen
with
anymore.
With Andromeda, you know.
It's not.
Finally getting back to that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching the video version of this podcast, remember you can find the audio version at any podcast hosting service. And then likewise, if you're listening to the audio version, you can find the video version over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. Thank you for all your love and support and getting in contact with us. You can do so via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all by the handle EmptyPromisePodcast, or through, what is our email?
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. We'd love to hear from you. I got some news. Let's do some news.
I didn't have very much news.
I got some news. I'm going to start with news that's close to home in terms of my work day. But Home Bargains this week has rolled out. Have you seen this? The giant Toblerone?
No.
Okay. So at the minute, we're selling this giant bar of Toblerone.
How giant?
It's 2 foot long. It's 4.5 kilo in weight. It's a behemoth of a thing. Yeah. Now we're selling it at £49.
Okay, that's a lot.
And people have started giving out about the price of it, basically. So Home Bargains has revealed it's selling a giant bar of Toblerone, but customers are shocked at how much it will set you back. The enormous chocolate bar, which weighs 4.5 kilo and is approximately 80 centimeters long, costs £49. The giant sweet treat is available online in-store, according to the Home Bargains Facebook page, which joked you're going to need a bigger bag. Despite enjoying the novelty, customers have been left outraged at the price. One person said, "Who in their right mind would pay that amount for a chocolate bar, especially a cheap one like that?" I don't think Toblerone's that cheap.
No, I would consider it quite a rich thing.
Yeah, I mean, you get Toblerones at airports.
Yeah.
Airports can't be cheap. You know?
Toblerone is not like a common chocolate. It's not like...
No,
it wouldn't. Like a Dairy Milk sitting there.
Exactly,
you don't see it everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Another added, you want your head looked at if you're going to spend £50 on chocolate.
You're going to spend £50 on chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, what do these people spend their £50
on? Yeah, they're going to be spending £50 on chocolate, except they're just going to buy fucking, you know...
That is a picture of said Toblerone.
It is quite large. I'm interested to know what is the price per kilo.
Oh,
of chocolate. You know, compared to a standard Toblerone, like
it gives you that in our prices and works.
So yeah, I'd, it normally does that, doesn't it? Yeah. I'd like to know.
I'll let you know this weekday. I'll take a picture.
It's 4.5 kilos, right?
Yeah.
So what's a standard Toblerone?
Standard Toblerone is only like, would it even be 500 grams?
So I literally have no idea.
I don't think so.
And how much is the standard Toblerone? A couple of quid?
I don't know. Because we sell small Toblerones and then you sell Toblerone minis, so they've all different shapes and sizes.
It's hard to just crack this one down.
Like when people say bring me back a big Toblerone from the airport, I would always consider that the biggest Toblerone, but it's not this size.
No.
So we gotta
something else.
Hang on, there we go. One customer even took the time to work out that if the £49 bar is worth the price, he said, if you buy the 150-gram bars at the pound shop for 1.5 kilogram, which is 10 bars, it's £10. For 3 kilogram, 20 bars, it's £20. For 4.5 kilogram, 30 bars, it's £30. So you're only really paying for the novelty of the item.
Oh, yeah. Because like it's not a standard thing for Toblerone to do, so they're going to have to charge a little bit extra
exactly
to make back the money for the fact that we're not producing regular bars here to make this
exactly. However, many shoppers love the idea of the enormous bar, tagging friends and requesting it as a Christmas present, or suggesting it would be perfect for family members this Christmas.
I think it's fine.
I think it's great. I mean, it's retailing up the street in Armagh at £73. So £49.
Where's up the street?
Emerson's.
Oh, right. That's
mad. The recommended retail price on it is like £75.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, obviously, you know, I don't think customers look at that, though. let me see. Second bit of news. I'm staying in Armagh with this bit of news. And this has come from our local Armagh
News service thing?
News service, yeah. Exactly. Is that what you call it?
I don't know, because it's not a newspaper. It's online, but it is like...
Yeah.
The newspaper.
But there was a drunk guest. Did you read about this one? The drunk guest at the Armagh City Hotel who caused £2,760 worth of damage.
Fuck.
And shouted up the rah when led away from the hotel.
Fair play, yeah. That's the stuff.
The court heard the woman was on benefits and it was very difficult. No, did you already have this in your head as a man?
Yeah, I did.
You can't assume these days. That's the thing, you know? A woman who bits a police officer.
Bit?
Yeah.
Classy lady.
After damaging a room in the Armagh City Hotel, has been told, if you have money to drink, then you have money to pay for the consequences for it. The 31-year-old barrister has told court, unless the hotel was fully occupied, there is no way of accounting for loss of earnings. Natasha Morgan of Church Avenue in Dundrum, County Down, appeared for sentencing on criminal damage, 2 counts of assault on police and attempted criminal damage at Armagh Magistrates Court on Tuesday.
Jesus.
The prosecution outlined that on September 21st, police received a report from staff at the city hotel that a bedroom had been damaged by a resident. It was noted that the defendant had slurred speech, was unsteady on her feet, and appeared intoxicated. As one constable reviewed CCTV, Morgan attempted to leave and threw a phone at a window. The defendant had to be restrained and taken to the ground. Morgan continued to struggle. She kicked an officer on the right side of his face and bit another, leaving him with redness and bite marks. She was escorted from the hotel and taken to Dungannon custody suite. The defendant shouted, up the rah.
No comment.
No. Except for up the rah. No. She also then admitted to police that she had been under the influence of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Prosecution stated that
clearly on some sort of bender, like.
Yeah, it was £2,760, including such items as the television, carpet, lamps, and crockery.
Fuck me.
There we go.
Imagine just going off on it, like the one weekend.
Absolute bender.
You're going to have to pay the price, like, and that is it.
I know, yeah.
Fuck me, hey.
I mean,
fucking hell.
Oh, I love Armagh.
It's just, that makes news in Armagh. Like,
I know, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Such a small little fucking
city, yeah. Quote unquote.
Like, that
city.
Shit probably happens in like Dublin every other day.
This is a fun fact about Armagh. We're the only city in Europe that doesn't have a railway.
Really?
Yeah. And we're one of either the only cities or one of the top cities that doesn't have a McDonald's as well. So there you go.
It's a ridiculous statement to say that Armagh is a city.
It just qualifies, I think, under the people and the cathedrals, isn't it?
It's yeah. Like I think it just got it. Like one year it was like, because it's like an ancient sort of place.
Yeah.
And then they just said, like, let's make it a city, you know? Because there's not enough cities in Northern Ireland. There isn't. There is, like,
Derry's a city, isn't it?
Yeah.
Derry, I could see Derry.
Newry's a city as well, as of recently.
Is it?
Yes. So it was like Belfast was the city, and Derry was like the secondary city. And now you've got Armagh and Newry, and I'm sure there's somewhere else.
Can you do me a favor? Will you hit that? Will you hit that light switch on that wall?
This light switch right here.
Yeah, I'm just seeing the video, and it looks a little bit dark.
I did it. I don't know if that's gonna.
That made us a wee bit brighter. That'd be fine.
Or a wee bit brighter.
Is Monaghan a city?
No, Monaghan is rightly so a town. They didn't feel the need to just start calling places cities
okay.
In the south.
Soon it will happen though. That's crazy. That's unreal. That's I can't believe Newry's a city.
I didn't know.
I always just pictured Newry as a big town.
It is. It's bigger than Armagh.
It's a city. Okay. Have you seen the John Lewis Christmas advertisement yet?
Nope. No interest in seeing it. I hate these things.
Okay, well, John Lewis has teamed up with Waitrose and Partners this year for a Christmas ad, but it has apologized after it left children traumatized.
Oh, good.
So for anyone who has seen the advertisement, I'll not completely ruin it on you, but I'll give you a general gist. It looks kind of like, not medieval times, but old times. There's a pet dragon living in the city. And the dragon basically is no good to anybody because it keeps breathing fire and destroying their things around Christmas. And that's kind of where the advertisement goes from
there.
But yesterday, the nation finally got plunged into the Christmas spirit, which we'll talk about after this briefly. After John Lewis released its long-awaited Christmas advertisement, the year's festive offering follows the tale of lovable dragon, excitable Edgar, who causes absolute havoc as he prepares to celebrate Christmas with his best friend, Ava. But while many love the commercial, it's not been a hit everywhere and has left some children crying.
Who would...
Oh, okay. Posting on Twitter, one disgruntled parent revealed how her little girl had been left distraught by the advert after she thought Edgar had melted Olaf the snowman from Frozen. I know. A spokesman for the brand tweeted, "Oh no, Emma, sorry to hear that your little one was unhappy with Edgar. He was only trying to help. I'll have a word with Edgar. I hope he changes his ways or Elsa will be sent to the naughty corner. Or Elsa.
You get it, Chris?
Sorry.
I fucking wrecked that.
This is too sad. The happy ending doesn't make up for the rest of it being so sad. Poor Edgar, another disgruntled viewer said. The third added, it's 9:40 in the morning and John Lewis has had me ugly crying already.
This doesn't sound like people are even complaining. Like, this just sounds like people are talking about stuff
voicing their
opinion on the internet. Yeah, which exactly. Everyone does. And it's like, it's not news, man.
No, it's not news.
It's not news. I tell you what, these people who complain, quote unquote. Like, I mean, there's always going to be people who don't like things. It's just now that they can just go on the internet and say it, and then all of a sudden, fucking John Lewis responds saying, "I'm so sorry.
I know.
Please come to the shop. Buy my toys."
But I just wanted to briefly touch on that. It says that the nation has been plunged into the Christmas spirit. I think it's too early. You got to try some vegan brownies. I think you'll like them. They're good. They're moist, but still kind of dense.
Mm-hmm.
They're full of chocolate. Let me see if I can get this next article up just while we wait.
You know, they're good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I'm glad you enjoy.
I'm a vegan.
My next bit of news is regarding, there we go, Mark Wahlberg joins Tom Holland. Did you hear about this?
Nope.
In the Uncharted movie.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tom Holland being Nathan Drake?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think of that, first of all?
Who was the other person? It was Tom Holland who?
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
Yeah. When I first heard this, I pictured, okay, Mark Wahlberg could be an okay Drake.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of see, because Tom Holland kind of has that kind of, how do you put that? Like cheeky kind of persona. Is that what you call it?
That, like, likable kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mark Wahlberg is finally in final talks with co-star Tom Holland in Uncharted, Sony's upcoming adaptation of the hit video game. Travis Knight, who directed Bumblebee, is directing the movie that follows Nathan Drake, a treasure hunter who journeys across the world to uncover various historical mysteries. Wahlberg will portray Victor Sullivan.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either. An American treasure hunter, fortune seeker, and businessman, as well as friend, mentor, and father figure to Drake. Holland is set to play Drake. Ironically, Wahlberg was only originally on board to play Drake years ago when David O. Russell was first directing an adaptation, with Sony transforming the project into an origin story. Wahlberg wanted to return to the movie in some capacity. The game series, which began in 2007, was created by developer Naughty Dog and published by PlayStation, has sold more than 41 million copies to date.
That, I just can't imagine what Mark Wahlberg doing that.
As Sully?
Yeah.
Did you see so remember the fan movie that came out? It was fantastic. With
Nathan Fillion.
That was a perfect cast. I thought that was a brilliant cast. Yeah. Like, why didn't they just... Mark Wahlberg as Sully?
You see, they went the other way, because Nathan Fillion's pretty old.
He is, but he still kind of fit the part.
You just do a slightly later Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Because he's literally him. That's who he is.
Yeah.
He's fucking basically on him. But anyway.
I don't know.
I'm sure they're not going to just... No, they might just be throwing in Mark Wahlberg because it's star power. They want his name. Maybe.
Tom Holland, I think, that was pretty big.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with him. I just don't know about Mark Wahlberg being Sully. I just don't think he can act that way. I don't see him as like a wise old sage.
No.
He's always like a reactive kind of dude. Reactive. He's like, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly. Yeah.
Where am I?
Yeah. Being chased by like fucking robots and stuff. Like,
yeah. I just don't see him being the kind of calm, cool, collected dude. He's like, oh, we're going to get up there and do this. And he's like,
because
we got to get up there. We got to do this.
He's
too intense.
Sully isn't that intense person.
No.
Okay. Have you played Uncharted 4?
Mm-mm.
Okay, me either.
They mean to do it for a long time, but
it's supposed to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've heard it's excellent.
Finally, to finish up, I'll finish in some gaming news as well. This came from Reddit, by the way.
Mm.
So after tens of thousands of votes over 2 years, the Reddit Nintendo subscribers have named... I'll actually ask you the question. Which game do you think they've named as Nintendo's greatest game ever?
Ever?
Ever. Game of all time. Sorry.
Super Mario Brothers 2.
Nope. It's in there, but no.
Zelda. Which one would it be? Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after tens of thousands of votes over 2 years, Nintendo subscribers have named The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild the greatest Nintendo game of all time. That's a big, that's a big vote.
That's like a big honor. Big honor.
On March 26, 2018, Nintendo's 10th birthday, we decided enough was enough. And so, armed with a list of all 1,250 games published by Nintendo, we began the arduous process of whittling that down to 256 entrants into a single elimination tournament. The only fair, scientifically accurate, and non-controversial method of determining which single title could be considered the greatest of all time. There were some highs, like Earthbound, Underdog, Journey Across, Journey against Animal Crossing's New Leaf, Fire Emblem Awakening and Xenoblade Chronicles to make the top 8. And there were some lows, like when Yoshi's Island got eliminated in round 1. And when Pocket Monster Stadium, a Japanese exclusive precursor to Pokemon Stadium, was eliminated. Some of the others that made it in were Donkey Kong Land 3, Nintendogs.
Remember Nintendogs?
SimCity and Electroplankton. But in the end, we all learned that any negative reactions to the results were wrong and that the votes aren't just a reflection on a limited demographic of subreddit subscribers, but that a legally binding and exclusive proclamation that will reverberate throughout the universe. These votes will surely be studied in generations to help the ongoing war to eliminate wrong think. And it was fun too. So, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild has been named by Reddit Nintendo subscribers as the greatest Nintendo game of all time.
I mean, I think it's fair. I've never played it.
God, I've played
I still haven't.
Yeah, I've played it. It's a great game, but I couldn't get sucked into it enough to properly, you know.
I just haven't.
I did for like 3 weeks, I think. I just played it just constantly.
Right enough.
It was great.
Yeah.
And then I just went off it. It's like Fallout. Like the last I spoke to you, I was so deep in Fallout. I haven't touched the game since. I haven't touched it. This is what happens, you know. But so, something else just I seen before you come up. There's a poll at the minute. Should the Hong Kong protesters be Times Person of the Year? So, you know, Time Magazine?
Mm, yeah.
Should the protesters be, the pro-democracy movement be Times Person of the Year?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Well, they're leading the vote 93% at the minute.
Oh, well, then they probably will be then, so.
That's mad, though, like, you know.
I mean, yeah, that probably was one of the biggest things that's happened this year, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it was either that or Donald Trump.
Well, that's it. This whole Trump thing. Trump's right-hand man has also been convicted now as well.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. He got done with that thing. Yeah. I think there's something. I didn't realize this has all been happening, obviously, in America, so it's not just as big over here, but like apparently six people who used to be in his like entourage have all been convicted.
Yeah.
Of that Russian thing.
The Russian probe, like, yeah.
Fuck, I never heard a peep about that.
Yeah, I know.
But,
yeah,
what do you call it? I was going to say there, another piece of news that just came to me there, is it Joker?
Yes.
Joker is now the, it's the first ever R-rated film to make $1 billion.
Is it?
Yes. It's also the most, not the most successful comic book film, but okay. It has made the most money relative to how much it cost. So it cost like $50 million and it's made $1 billion. So like compared to like Infinity War, which cost like $1 billion to make. Yeah.
Did Wolverine not ever do $1 billion? No? Clearly not. Or was it R-rated? No?
It was R-rated, yeah. But I don't think it did $1 billion. Wow. I mean, you think Deadpool hasn't even hit $1 billion, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so. Joker just is a sensation that I haven't seen yet.
I know.
And I want.
It's still in cinemas.
Sure, I might get to see it then. But
will you?
Keep putting it off.
Yeah, I know. I have one question I want to throw out that we'll come back to later, just so you can mull around your head while we go in for a main topic.
Okay.
But this was on Ask Reddit this morning. What is your most terrifying, quote, we need to leave now, end quote, random rush of fear that you've ever felt? So I thought of one in my head straight away. One popped into my head straight away, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think of a time when I've ever just been like, oh shit, like
we gotta
fear
go.
Has just been so much.
I can think of one.
Yeah.
Maybe not the worst in the world, but you, yeah.
I think you're thinking this.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can laugh at it now.
But so we'll talk about our...
It was a spooky moment.
A bit later. But before we go into our main topic, just to remind everybody listening to the podcast that you can find the video version over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. And if you want to take us with you on the go, just search for us on any podcast hosting service. Empty Promise Podcast is what you want to search for. And thank you to everybody who tunes in on the weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will talk a little bit about people I've talked to later on after we finish off this main topic. But for now,
into the nitty gritty.
Into the nitty gritty.
And gritty it is. Indeed.
It is quite gritty, yeah. Quite deep this one, but it's good.
Yeah,
I finished my brownie. I'm ready.
We're good to start.
Okay. Okay. This week, we're jumping into the whole. It's not even a trend, is it?
It is. It's a fucking meme. It's a fucking conspiracy theory.
It is. It's that Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein
didn't kill himself.
Did not kill himself.
Oh. So we'll do. We'll let you know a bit of background. I'm sure you're gonna let him know a bit of background.
You got some background on the man, some background on the events, and then we're gonna talk a little bit. We're gonna speculate. We're gonna talk about the validity of some of the theories floating about. But what happened to Jeffrey Epstein?
Yep. And then I'm gonna touch a little bit about different whistleblower deaths.
Yeah.
And cases.
So similar events similar, to this.
Yeah. People who have known too much that have suddenly, sleeping with the fishes.
Fallen into an elevator shaft.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You lead the way then here, D.
All right, okay. So, everyone's probably already heard about Jeffrey Epstein by now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've definitely heard Epstein. You probably heard the meme, Epstein didn't kill himself. Yeah. It's been floating around social media a lot.
Firstly, I love some of the stuff that's been floating around. Yeah, some of the stuff you've been sending me have been hilarious.
Yeah, it's been taken on. It's become a meme, and in many ways, a lot of like a lot of people try to discredit it because they're like, it's just a meme. Just people are using a meme.
Yeah,
and like, but you have to remember the reason it's a meme is because everyone is like involved in it,
on board with it. Yeah,
everyone is convinced by it. So it's not just like, oh, you can. It's just a meme. People on the internet are being stupid. No, they're not. It's a meme because. This is weird, suspicious shit that has happened.
It's come from somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, we'll talk about it. We'll just talk about it.
Okay, yeah. Good.
So Jeffrey Epstein, he was a prominent American investor and entrepreneur with a history of sketchy deals, accusations of misconduct, and a convicted sex offender.
Yeah. But he was only convicted, not recently.
No, he was convicted in 2008.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is one of the many enigmatic things about this dude is that he was convicted of a sex offense in 2008. Well, I'll talk about it more, but literally nobody knew about this. You know, there was.
That's what I mean. I thought it was like recent.
Yeah, right.
Maybe like a year or two ago.
Yeah, no, there was recent stuff as well. But it's like he has managed to like sort of slip away.
Evade, kind of like
what you would expect, especially with the Me Too movement that happened recently. Like you'd expect so much to be thrown up about him, but he just sort of was sitting in the background.
What is that Me Too movement?
Me Too is the Harvey Weinstein, all that there stuff. All the claims that came out about sexual misconduct in the film entertainment industry and all that there. That kind of went, you know, behind the scenes for so long.
That whole R. Kelly wouldn't be part of that as well, then?
R. Kelly's another, he's just a fucking weird case altogether. Yeah. He was just, he got married.
There's a documentary on Netflix about R. Kelly, about like the people telling their stories about what he'd done.
I was reading recently about R. Kelly, that he married, I forget the name of, she went on to become a famous pop singer as well. But he illegally married her. He was 20 something, she was 14.
Jesus.
And got married. Like, it's just insane.
What the hell?
But back to Epstein. He lived among the high society in New York City. So he was like kind of one of those elite dudes, lived up in a, you know, kind of an expensive mansion in New York.
Penthouse kind of suite.
Yeah. He had connections with many prominent people. Some of the more sort of common noticeable examples, Prince Andrew.
Right.
Ghislaine Maxwell, who was like a very, very close personal friend of his. Bill Clinton.
Oh, yes.
Links with Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. Rupert Murdoch. And even Harvey Weinstein as well.
Oh, right, okay.
So basically, yeah. He had links this year. He's been to the White House. He visited the White House numerous times with Bill Clinton when he was in office.
Okay.
Trump described him as a really decent individual. Probably called him a close personal friend.
Probably.
This is all before either of those people were, or before any of these claims had came against him.
Right, okay. So at the time, 2008.
At this time, he was just a pretty successful investor.
Yeah. Was he a financial advisor or something?
No. He was, yeah. He was a financial advisor, but he only really had one official client on the books.
Okay.
Some other people are like, how do you make so much money when you work for one person?
Who was his one client? Do you know?
I'll find it eventually. But it was the person who owns Victoria's Secret.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forget their name, but it'll be in the notes here somewhere.
God, so much already.
I know, right? So yeah, his social life often intersected him with those people. He had parties, he attended events, people stayed at his home.
Okay.
Prince Andrew recently had an interview talking about why he stayed at the home. This was post 2008 when he was a convicted sex offender. Why did you stay? And he called it a regrettable thing that he thought he was doing the right thing at the time. Anyway, that interview literally came out a couple of days ago if you want to check that out.
Jesus.
In July 2019, this is when we're getting caught up, the affluent businessman was arrested on suspicion of sex trafficking. The evidence secured from his residence was enough to potentially damn the 66-year-old to the rest of his life in prison. The case was so strong that even a $600 million bail bond was not enough.
$600 million?
$600 million.
How wealthy is this guy?
Enough that he had $600 million to spare.
Jesus.
In order to get him sort of on bail. Out on bail whenever his trial was pending. Jeez. What happened next, you're probably already aware of. On August 10th, despite having been placed on suicide watch, Epstein was found dead in his cell in an apparent suicide. Post-mortem concluded that this was in fact the case. So he died of suicide in his cell on August 10th, 2019. Since then, however, the question has been asked many times, was it really a suicide? When we consider the links Epstein had among some of the most prominent people in the country, the extent of the sex trafficking ring which had been exposed, his tendency to acquire blackmail on the people he knew, and the suspicious circumstances of his death, and the widespread criticism of that, it starts to become clear that a lot more is going on here.
So he was prone to accept blackmail from these people?
He was prone to acquire blackmail.
Oh, yeah. So a bit of dollar bills to keep your mouth shut.
Yes, exactly. Mm. I'll talk more about that, about how those mechanisms happened as well. But if you want to get a quick idea about who Jeffrey Epstein was, and this was just reading about his sort of his history and his how he came to prominence. This is an overview of his various business and personal life. It'll give you a pretty good impression of the kind of dude we're dealing with.
Okay.
So he initially, he actually started off life as a teacher.
Yes.
And at a private school.
That's right.
And through some of the students there, the parents of some of the students there, he got links into some financial institutions.
Right.
And eventually got hired at a Wall Street firm called Bear Stearns.
Yeah. Did I hear he was let go or something from teaching down to poor performance?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, poor performance. That was the first time he was let go due to something like that.
Yeah. And then where do you say he went? Wall Street to
Bear Stearns.
Bear Stearns. That's a big financial.
Wall Street firm.
Yeah.
And he started there at a fairly standard level, but quickly moved up through the ranks. He excelled at Bear Stearns. Working with wealthy clients using tax mitigation strategies. So
tax mitigation is avoiding tax, basically.
Through legal means. Helping the rich stay rich and stuff like that.
It's legal, but not really.
It's not really ethical, but it is legal.
What would an example of that be, sorry? Is that like a Wolf of Wall Street style? You can put your money into someone else's name in a different account somewhere else and try to keep it that way. No?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I think that wasn't legal because that's what he got done.
Oh, yeah.
What would be legal is registering your company in what would be legal is what Epstein later did. Register your company in the Virgin Islands.
Right.
The US Virgin Islands.
Right.
Where you pay much less tax.
Okay.
And all of the businesses you do on continental US, mainland US soil.
Yeah.
You process it through the business on the Cayman Islands and you pay the tax on the Cayman Islands despite the fact the money was made in the US. So you pay 5% tax instead of 40% tax.
Jesus.
Yeah. So that's tax mitigation strategy, stuff like that. Other things putting your money into sort of various financial instruments which are tax exempt and stuff like that, and trying to move your money around just ways to avoid tax. So that's how that's where he excelled at Bear Stearns. Okay. So that's the type of dude he is, right? Mm. This is my impression of him anyway. Quickly moved up the ranks at Bear Stearns until he was abruptly asked to leave in 1981.
Right.
So this is the second time he's been let go.
Mm-hmm.
Despite this, though, he remained very close with the upper echelons at Bear Stearns. So he kept those links.
Yep.
Apparently he was let go due to there was just a regulation thing that he failed.
This is from Bear Stearns?
From Bear Stearns, okay. Not necessarily, sinister to that, but he had to move on then. So from that he set up his own private firm, and he sort of did a couple of different things.
Okay.
He worked notably as a private consultant for Adnan Khashoggi.
Okay.
Who's a Saudi Arabian.
I was gonna say that's a person's name. That's not a company.
No, it's a person's name. Okay. Yeah. And he worked as an arms broker.
Ooh.
From Iran to Israel.
Right.
So basically working with an arms dealer here. In 1983, the firm that he had founded, called Tower Financial Corporation, imploded as one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in American history, losing $450 million.
Jesus.
That was the firm he initially started, but he left in 1989.
Okay.
And so escaped investigations of fraud. So it's unknown whether he was able to extract money from that.
So he just started the firm and then left?
He started the firm the firm had run for about 9 years.
But he left before it went tits up?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's unknown if he was actually embezzling money or not. But it was one of the, he founded one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in American history. So.
Jesus.
In 2005 now, moving on a little bit. And getting into sort of the behaviors that got Epstein arrested.
Yeah.
It was reported that he had solicited sex from a 14-year-old girl. Jeez. 2005. Her mother opened the case with Florida's Palm Beach Police Department. And after a 13-month investigation, which involved the FBI, it became clear that Epstein had asked several girls to perform sex acts. Most were aged below 16, the youngest being 14.
Jeepers, oh.
Jeepers, oh, indeed. A former employee told the police that Epstein would receive massages up to 3 times a day.
Right.
From these girls. Eventually, the FBI compiled reports on 34 confirmed minors, so under 18, eligible for restitution. Details from the investigation included allegations that 12-year-old triplets were flown in from France for Epstein's birthday, and flown back the following day after being sexually abused.
12-year-olds.
Triplets. Just fucking insane. That's the FBI investigation. Those were allegations included there. Never charged with that.
Okay.
The actual prosecution only brought 2 cases against him.
Right. So all the rest of it is just kind of hearsay?
No, the rest of it is was
people coming out against him, kind of?
Pretty
thing?
Much,
But
yeah.
Hasn't been proved as
no,
such?
No, okay. They probably didn't have the evidence whenever, or it was too much he says, she says type of stuff.
Yeah.
So they only put, they only brought two cases against him out of the initial four that they had like solid evidence on.
Right.
They were criticized, prosecution was criticized for being too lenient by only bringing two cases against him.
Right.
And in June 2007, Epstein was offered a plea deal. So he was offered a plea bargain. Again, this got a lot of criticism from people saying that's way too lenient.
It's not fair.
For a sex offender.
So what, he pleads guilty and gets a reduced sentence, that kind of thing?
Exactly that.
Okay.
So his plea deal was to grant immunity from all federal criminal charges to Epstein, along with four named co-conspirators and any unnamed potential co-conspirators.
Right. So he had to give up the people?
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. They were granted immunity.
Right.
So I don't know how that came about. But essentially, it was ensuring that he and his co-conspirators couldn't be done for the federal crimes.
Right.
So the FBI kind of
withdrew. But did he have to name them, though? Did he have to name
them? I'm not actually sure. No. Obviously, the names did not become public because...
Oh, kind of want to know them now.
I'm right.
Yeah.
That was one element of it. Because the federal charges were now dismissed, the FBI withdrew their investigation because they're not the federal sort of organization. Yeah. They're not required anymore. Yeah.
So who picked it up? Did anybody pick up the investigation after? Or was that just a case closed?
That was, as far as the FBI was concerned, case closed. Now because he pleaded guilty. Mm-hmm. So the case was literally closed. District attorney later claimed that he offered a lenient plea deal because he was told that Epstein belonged to intelligence, quote unquote.
Belong to intelligence.
Well, and that this was above his pay grade and to leave it alone. That's what district attorney, the Florida district attorney
said. This Jeffrey, he's a powerful kind of guy then.
Well, no? Belong to intelligence seems to suggest he had links with...
With higher up people, you know, presidents maybe?
Possibly.
People in higher places. Oh. Yeah.
And this is one of the things that...
So if he starts fucking jibber-jabbering, names could suddenly drop out of that.
So leave it alone, let him get away with this. So in the end, Epstein was convicted of one act of soliciting prostitution from a minor out of all those. He served 18 months on house arrest.
Okay.
And was afforded many liberties not normally available to convicted sex offenders. Now, sex offenders in the state of Florida go to state prison.
Yeah.
And
Florida still have death penalty as well, but maybe that's not a death.
I don't know, actually. It wouldn't be a death thing, I don't think. Okay. But you go to the state prison.
Okay.
But he was allowed to get house arrest.
House arrest, so he could stay at his home.
Yeah. Apparently his cell door, or whatever it was in the house arrest, was left open a lot, so he could leave.
Come and go.
He had access to television, internet. He was allowed to leave the country to go to his residence on the Virgin Islands.
So he wasn't really under house arrest at all?
No. They had to request that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was granted. He was given a lot of liberties that wouldn't be normally afforded to someone who's convicted sex criminal.
Friends in higher places.
Exactly. Well, possibly.
Me thinks.
I don't really know, but it did seem like he got off easy in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. Realistically.
So that was 2008 he was under
2008, that's when he was convicted, right?
Okay.
The plea deal he took stopped an ongoing FBI investigation.
Uh-huh.
He was only charged on one act of four brought against him. And the other allegations were mainly ignored. So all of those 39. So that was the initial case against him.
Yes.
But he got his comeuppance July 6th in 2019.
Right.
So
what happened that it came back then?
Well, he was arrested fairly, not suddenly, but sort of without prior warning at an airport.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI then forced their way into his house.
Mm-hmm.
The search of his townhouse turned up evidence of sex trafficking, also found hundreds, perhaps thousands, of sexually suggestive photographs of fully or partially nude females. Some of the photos were confirmed as those of underage females.
Jesus. But where did this tip-off come from, or why did they decide to reopen?
It was an investigation into him, an ongoing investigation into him. So I'm not sure how it started again.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem. This is all still...
It's still low.
It's ongoing.
Burning. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is an FBI investigation ongoing at the moment.
Right.
So I guess the facts will all come clear whenever this is concluded, hopefully.
Okay. So right to this day, it's still not.
There's an ongoing investigation, yeah.
Wow.
So this time, the charges against them were sex trafficking.
Okay.
Which is a much more serious thing, because now you're moving people, you're bringing people in and out.
Yeah.
It's not just soliciting prostitution, it's more serious. It was claimed that dozens of underage girls were brought into his mansions for sexual encounters.
Right.
So
not necessarily for him. Is that what sex trafficking
this
means?
This is, yeah. Not.
So he could be doing it for other people? Or?
Possibly. No, this is all. That is allegation. Yeah. That is speculation.
You heard it here first.
The writing was on the wall for Epstein this time. His lawyers urged prosecutors to accept a $600 million bail bond, but this was refused. So it has went from 2005, 2006, 2007, from him getting really lenient plea deal,
mm-hmm.
to now he's offering up $600 million to try and get a bail, and it's been rejected. So he has to stay in jail for the duration of the prosecution. But here's the interesting thing about Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
You should note this, the fact that he's now kept in custody. He kept constant surveillance of his properties.
Yes.
He installed concealed cameras to allegedly record sexual activity of underage girls by prominent people for the purpose of blackmail.
Oh.
So this is again, not confirmed, but that girl I mentioned earlier, Ghislaine Maxwell,
uh-huh.
who's like sort of not like a partner of his, but uh-huh. very close friend.
Yeah.
She claims that his home on the Virgin Islands was completely wired up for
cameras
this.
Cameras everywhere.
Cameras, secluded, hidden cameras everywhere to record people performing sex acts.
Wow. So he could later use for blackmail if it ever worse ever came to it? Wow.
Epstein himself sort of alluded to this as well in off the record to a New York Times interview. He
fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Holy
allegedly,
shit.
Again, alleged, this is all allegedly, Epstein lent girls to powerful people to integrate himself with them and to also gain possible blackmail information.
That's insane.
So this kind of ring that he's setting up, this is the trafficking, like he's setting these.
So are they investigating at the minute then, like who these people were that he was... like providing these services for or anything?
I think they're still trying to find the all the links, all the people, the full ring.
And this is why people believe he didn't kill himself?
Well, like this is one of the reasons. Like, you hear about a dude who keeps... if you're one of these people and you know Jeffrey Epstein has
dirt on me.
Could possibly have dirt on you.
And he's got to go to trial.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance he could plea... Yeah, exactly.
He could plea down.
Exactly, yeah. I'll give you the names, shorten my sentence, that kind of thing. Holy shit.
You know.
Yeah.
Makes you think, right?
It really does.
Something to think about. Now, here's the facts about what happened next.
Okay. Right?
This is just the facts.
These are the facts.
And we'll talk about
cold hard
speculation
facts.
After. Yep. On July 23rd, 3 weeks prior to his eventual death, Epstein was found unconscious in his jail cell with injuries to his neck. So this is on July 23rd.
3 weeks prior to
his death. Epstein believed that he was attacked by his cellmate, who was awaiting trial for 4 counts of murder. Funny enough, his cellmate was a former police officer.
Wow.
So, yeah. If you
yeah. Okay.
We'll get
okay.
to that in a second.
Okay.
Well, the correctional staff, so the staff at the...
yeah, at the prison.
At the jail, essentially, suspected it was attempted suicide and he was just lying about the attack. After that incident, he was placed on suicide watch. 6 days later,
mm-hmm.
on July 29th, mm-hmm. he was taken off suicide watch and placed in a special housing unit with another inmate. Epstein's close associate said that he was in good spirits,
mm-hmm.
so after this event. While he was placed in the special housing unit, the jail informed the Justice Department that he would have a cellmate, that a guard would look into the cell every 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
These procedures were not followed on the night of his death. On August 9th, Epstein's cellmate was transferred out. No new replacement cellmate was brought in. Later in the evening, in violation of the jail's normal procedure, Epstein was not checked every 30 minutes. The two guards who were assigned to check his jail unit that night fell asleep and did not check on him for about 3 hours. The guards falsified related records to hide that fact.
So basically, if they had like a sign-off sheet, they just they bluffed it basically. Yep. Say, oh, we did check.
We checked.
Oh my God.
Now this is the fucking craziest part.
Right.
Two cameras in front of Epstein's cell also malfunctioned that night.
What? Oh, come on.
So
everything's working fine up until this one night. He loses his cellmate. The two police officers who are due to check in every 30 minutes
don't
fall asleep, then falsify records.
Yep.
And two cameras just suddenly malfunction.
Malfunction. They won't work.
That's it. I've heard enough. Convict.
So,
oh wow,
the rest you obviously know. He
died.
He died of strangulation.
So yeah, he died of strangulation. But what are they trying to say that it was?
Let me find that for you right now, Chris. Oh,
I was trying to say he hung himself.
Yep. One second. Sorry, I got this on a different page.
And if so, then was like a noose ever recovered? Or
I'm actually not sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, here. Right. Okay. Sorry. One second.
I've got so many ideas. Blow this case.
Okay.
Wide
so
open.
On August 16th, 2019, Barbara Sampson, the New York City medical examiner, announced that Epstein's death had been ruled a suicide by hanging.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, there must have been a noose found. Later, conflicting reports stated that the injuries Epstein sustained were as consistent, if not more so, with strangulation or homicide as with suicide. Okay. So the later reports are suggesting that it's as much likely to be strangulation as it is to be suicide. Mm-hmm. We have as much evidence to suggest it was that what you're saying. Barbara Sampson, her report found that there was no foul play in Epstein's death. So that was sort of conclusive, no foul play. Mm-hmm. Three of Epstein's lawyers expressed their dissatisfaction with her conclusion of suicide, having hired renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Baden to observe the autopsy. Mm-hmm. They said they would be initiating their own investigation and would be providing a more detailed statement in the future. Dr. Baden then performed his own autopsy. He observed the initial autopsy when it was conducted. After that, he indicated that he was unable to comment due to gag orders filed by Sampson's office and Epstein's estate. So he couldn't comment on what he thought of it because the medical examiner's office had said not to, and Epstein's estate had said not to.
Why would they do that? Why would they say not to?
I'm not sure. However, on October 30th, 2019, so quite a while after it now, this second doctor, Dr. Baden, issued a report stating that Epstein's neck injuries were much more consistent with homicidal strangulation than suicide. He stated that Epstein had two fractures on the left and right sides of his larynx, specifically the thyroid cartilage or Adam's apple.
Okay.
As well as one fracture on the left hyoid bone above the Adam's apple. In particular, his hyoid bone, which is rarely broken in suicidal hangings, was broken in a way indicative of strangulation from behind.
Ooh.
So, according to the autopsy files, Epstein also had two contusions on both of his wrists, an abrasion on his left forearm, and deep muscle hemorrhaging of his left deltoid or shoulder. His brother, Mark, later suggests that he was handcuffed and strangled. Now, that's his brother. Can't really, comment.
Yeah, of course. Now,
this is the interesting thing about that dude, Baden. He was hired by Epstein's lawyers.
This doctor who does
the second one, right? And Epstein's estate. But he is, it's not like he's like a bought man. He's well renowned, right? Yeah, okay. It's just very conflicting, the two sides of it. Like, one of them rules out foul play and the other one suggests it's more likely to be foul play. So whenever that comes out, obviously people are going to start asking questions.
100%.
Right? And the other thing about this is that before Epstein was ever, even before the first incident with Epstein, people were already speculating, I can see him having an unfortunate accident in prison. You know, the idea of this happening was already up in the air. So whenever a death like that happens, it's suspicious circumstances, right? When the guards don't check in, the cellmates removed, and the cameras don't work. And then the pathologist says there's no foul play. And then a couple of weeks later, another pathologist says,
it's very much foul play.
It looks more like foul play. People call this a conspiracy theory, and you're like, this is not even a theory at this point. No, this is
what happened.
Yeah, you need to investigate the fact that this could have happened. Yeah, you know, you can't just say like, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Like, this is a theory. This is a legitimate theory. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That is crazy. And are they investigating it?
They are. Okay. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, subsequently launched an investigation into the circumstances surrounding Epstein's death. Attorney General, I think it's William Barr, says the Justice Department officials will thoroughly investigate the serious irregularities at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, the jail he was saying up. Barr also warned that any of Epstein's alleged co-conspirators should not rest easy, noting that federal prosecutors will continue to aggressively pursue the case to ensure anyone who worked alongside Epstein will be held accountable. So the investigation is still going into his death, into his co-conspirators.
Good.
Like, they're still hoping to take this ring down.
Holy.
We are now learning of serious irregularities at this facility that are deeply concerning and demand a thorough investigation, Barr said during remarks at a law enforcement conference in New Orleans. The FBI and the Office of the Inspector General are doing just that. He says he was appalled and angry by the developments, and he insisted that the Justice Department would get to the bottom of what happened and promised accountability. Let me assure you, this case will continue on against anyone who was complicit with Epstein.
Did I read something that it was ABC reported? It was ABC network that were like some of the first to run with this kind of story, that perhaps was foul play.
Right.
Now, didn't he, if I'm right, Epstein had something to do with ABC? Like he had something to do with ABC. I'm not sure what it was. And this is what they're saying was the reason why these guys ran with this story, where everyone else was kind of saying, oh, you know, he just said it was suicide. ABC kind of went, no.
Maybe. I'm not actually aware of that.
Yeah, I think I read something like that. And then obviously then the likes of like Joe Rogan jumped onto the bandwagon with that one and blew it all out of proportion. And
I mean, the thing is whenever this news came out, like, I think everybody and their mother was kind of going, suicide?
Yeah.
You know, question mark.
Doesn't add up.
Yeah, you know. It's like, you can prove it's suicide, fair enough, but like,
why? But there's too many question marks. Why would he commit suicide, you know?
You can kind of see the perspective. If you know that you're, right, you're a wealthy, well-to-do kind of guy, right, who got away with it before, and now you're seeing the writings on the wall. Uh-huh. They've got the evidence, got the pictures at your home. They know what was going on.
Okay.
And it's like, you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison.
True.
That's
But at the same time, this is a guy who says that he has, you know, homes bugged, he has information on everyone.
True, yeah. But, you know, if you're believing in that, you know, if you're believing that he's got blackmail on people, then the fact that he killed himself doesn't make sense.
It's stupid, yeah.
But if you're, you know...
If you don't believe that, you're just reading.
If you're taking those as allegations, is what they still are at this point, you're kind of going... I mean, you can understand why a man who kind of doesn't see a way out of it
this
would
is
do
the
that.
Only way out.
Right. You know, and
true,
like,
true.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's so all over the place.
So yeah, due to the violations of standard prison procedures and Epstein's knowledge of compromising information about famous figures, his death spawned skepticism as well as multiple conspiracy theories. A Rasmussen poll conducted in August 2019 found that only 29% of US adults believe he actually committed suicide.
Yeah, I read that.
So
actually,
the majority already believe
citizens,
it's something else. And like, it really is, it's an unusual thing in that everyone believes, well, not everyone, 70% of people don't believe he killed himself.
Yeah.
And that's, in America, it's the Democrats, it's the Republicans.
Yeah.
Like, there came out a thing, we'll talk about it a little bit, the idea that the Clintons were involved.
Yes, I wanted to touch on that as well.
So the idea that the Clintons were involved, this hashtag started trending called the Clinton body count.
Clinton, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, and then there was a Clinton body. Oh, yeah, yeah, because Bill Clinton and then obviously Hillary with her body count and fucking, Benghazi or whatever you call that.
Yeah,
you
know, stuff like that.
Benghazi.
It's like trying to, it was just implying that the links that Epstein had with the incumbent president at the time, Bill Clinton, maybe they were behind it. You know, maybe they had a lot to lose here.
The Clintons are so fucked.
That came up. And then like about an hour later, came up the Trump body count. And it was like, Trump called this guy a great guy, personal friend. And it's like, you genuinely don't know.
You don't know.
And then Trump obviously has all the sexual allegations coming left, right and center from all these other women
That's
as well.
The type of guy he is.
So it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so there's so many, and almost that kind of like kind of discredits, because you're like, it literally could be anybody.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You know, you just don't know, you know, how high up these things go.
It's like, who shot Mr. Burns?
It's like,
exactly right. Like, everybody has a reason, you know.
Before Epstein's death, several people publicly predicted an untimely death for Epstein in prison.
So people thought already, you know, he was going
to... Bob Fitrakis, a long-time investigator into Epstein, stated that he thought it was likely Epstein would be killed in prison. Spencer Coovin, a lawyer who represented three alleged victims of Epstein, stated in July 2019, following Epstein's first apparent suicide attempt, that he believed it was an attack on his life, and stated there was a high probability that he would be murdered in prison.
Oh, yeah, so there was a suicide attempt already. That's right, before he got moved, wasn't there?
Yeah, the alleged suicide attempt or possible attack by a cellmate.
Wow.
He claimed it was a cellmate attack. They believed it was a suicide attempt. Yeah. Sort of, yeah. Significant doubts cast by lots of people about whether this was, you know, legitimately suicide. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, something doesn't fit.
Imagine it was even
even Trump. Trump came out immediately saying it was suspicious.
Yeah,
you know,
I like that's what I like about Trump. If he believes something, he's not like, you know, like that quote unquote presidential. You know, yeah, we'll get all the figures. He'll just fucking say it.
I don't trust fucking the Trump story as far as I can throw him though. No, and I can't throw him far.
Just go, you know.
Because of his connections to many wealthy and powerful people, there was speculation that some co-conspirator. Oh, excuse me. I've just lost my voice there.
Bless you.
There was speculation at that time that some co-conspirator participant in his sex crimes might have arranged for him to be silenced. In the hours after his death, the hashtag Clinton body count was trending on Twitter as users accused Bill and Hillary Clinton of being involved in the death. 7 hours after Epstein was found, Trump retweeted a conspiracy theory by a comedian and conservative commentator suggesting there was a connection between the Clintons and Epstein's death.
Jesus.
Yeah, just people are convinced that he was killed. Michael Moore came out and said, I guess, you're Michael Moore, who documentary maker. I guess they think a country dumb enough to elect Trump is stupid enough to believe Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide.
So a lot of people
across the board, you know, from the very left to the very right, they all are just not
something
convinced.
That everybody's agreeing on, at least.
Yeah, so lots of claims going in there. I didn't actually see the fucking bottom of that, Chris. So I'll have to go back here.
It's fine. It's, you're
go
good.
Find the rest of this. Yeah,
that's insane, though. What if it's an even bigger conspiracy? What if he's not dead? What if he's still alive?
I think he's dead.
What?
Because
have
you know,
seen, have
two,
we seen pictures?
No, but the two pathologists have like said,
true,
you know,
but
they investigated somebody who'd been strangled.
Yeah, money talks.
Money does talk.
Jesus,
a lot of the claims are just like unverifiable though. It's like,
I didn't know all that about the guards and the cameras malfunction. That's just like so
convenient.
Oh, we'll just take your prison cell out or your cellmate out this one day. Like, fuck me.
It is. It's very, very, very suspect.
Like, it's almost as if America wants a conspiracy half the time. You know what I mean?
I think these people like Epstein, who just have the money and are doing these awful things, think they can get away with it. And whenever it comes to this event like that happening, you know, it's like, this guy could snitch on all of us and we could be screwed. We got to take him out. Like, this has to happen. They don't realize, you know, that they're almost so self-involved. They don't realize that there's a nation watching this happen. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, they'll think, we'll get away with it. They'll think he killed himself.
Blind to it all, yeah.
And probably they do get away with it so often, you see. He got away with it in 2008.
What do you believe in this whole thing?
I don't think it was suicide.
No.
At the very least, he was told to kill himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the very least.
Never even thought of that.
If he did kill himself, he was, you know, he was told, do this or we're going to fuck you up.
Jesus. That's a weird thought.
Like, he's definitely covering for people.
Oh, yeah.
Whether voluntarily or now that he's dead and he was killed. Like, there's people, there are others involved in this.
Yeah, this ring, this sex trafficking ring, yeah.
It's absolutely insane. I'm glad that there's an investigation ongoing and I'm hoping that'll actually yield something.
Hopefully, but I mean,
you never really know.
Yeah, exactly.
There's definitely more to be revealed.
Have the FBI ever been like considered to be bought at any one time?
I'm sure, yeah.
Have they, yeah? I always picture the FBI as like, just like, you cannot be bought. Like, that's it. But maybe.
I'd be everyone could be bought. Like, I mean, what if you're talking, you were saying there's a senior director in the FBI who was in this ring. I mean,
right now.
They're more than bought.
True.
They're complicit. They have to. But I mean, I don't, like, I mean, realistically, the FBI is a big organization. That's the best way to protect against this kind of stuff. It's like, you know, not everyone's going to be involved. There's one guy there who's like a frequent investigator. There's people who really want to get to the bottom of this. There's victims who want to get to the bottom of this. So there's a lot of angles who are trying to find out the truth. Hopefully that's what will happen.
This is fucking madness,
Well, you know, the conspiracies themselves, they can range so very widely. I mean, the biggest one, not the biggest one, but one of the biggest ones is, the Clintons.
Yeah.
And that's because Jeffrey Epstein, he visited the White House.
He was friends with the Clintons multiple times.
This was obviously in the 90s before any of the allegations were like out there, but they had to have been, you know, had to have known these things. He threw parties. People who attended them were like Prince Andrew, Rupert Murdoch, all those people. There's big names associated with this dude. And that fact, Prince Andrew stayed at one of these houses that we have been told are wired with cameras.
Yeah.
After he was convicted of a sex offense. I mean, and he came out with an interview very recently. Like, that's just too fucking weird. That's the British crown you're talking about.
I know.
Fucking
that's
Buckingham Palace.
That's royalty there.
God only knows.
Man.
Because the Poké Poké Palace have their own conspiracy things against them as well, with Diana and all that.
Oh, yeah. That's a great conspiracy we should look into, actually.
There's loads of things there. But yeah.
Well, on this...
Epstein didn't kill himself.
No, he didn't. You know? He didn't.
And if you believe that he did kill himself, there's not enough evidence to show that he did.
No.
You've got one pathologist saying he did, that's the fact. But then you've got another one who's saying he didn't, and that's the fact.
Like, yeah. The one pathologist who said he did, like, are they... Like, who are they? What's their background? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think, no, they are the incumbent. Like, they're the New York City medical examiner. Okay. They're the person who should do this. The other one has been hired. That's where he's kind of got a little bit of, like, an asterisk around him. It's like, he was hired by Epstein's lawyers, you know, so maybe he has an angle.
Maybe he found stuff that wasn't there.
You know, okay, yeah, possibly. But, I mean, you can't fault, you know, the report has all of that stuff in it.
Yeah, it's in black and white.
Yeah, you know, it's just how you choose to interpret it.
Well, going off this whole thing, I did a bit of research. So that's the Jeffrey Epstein part of this, done and dusted. I did a bit of research then on other, like, whistleblower as such deaths or conspiracies. Now, I came up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll read you, like, the 6 of the best that I found. They're short, but it's just enough to kind of make you go, like, huh, okay. So a whistleblower is someone who basically... Like, how would you describe a whistleblower? Who knows kind of the dirt as such that could possibly bring down federations or could cripple a government or things that got there. And all of a sudden they've been either silenced or...
Disappear.
Or no longer with us, shall we say. So let's start with a good place to start. The Russian treasury. So we know the Russians are fucking brutal for this, right? But Alexander Pereplinsky had a sweet life in Russia. He was a rich, successful businessman who traveled the world, but when he refused to keep a secret, he had to give it all up. As an investment banker, Pereplinsky began to investigate fraud within the Russian economy and stumbled onto one of the biggest thefts from taxpayers in history. He gave a series of documents to Swiss officials that exposed a massive money laundering scheme in which Russia's mafia and its government conspired to steal $230 million from the Russian treasury. Swiss Fuck. Prosecutors from a Swiss bank account worth $11 million that belonged to a high-ranking government official who was implicated in the crisis. After exposing the secrets to the public, Pereplinsky began to receive death threats, reportedly from, quote, powerful enemies in Moscow. He promptly fled Russia for Britain, where he secretly moved to a private estate. There he tried to live a quiet life until one fateful morning in November 2012, when he was seen leaving his house to go jogging. A short time later, Pereplinsky was found lying dead on the road by a neighbor. He had no injuries to his body and no outstanding medical conditions that would have threatened his life. When an autopsy was performed, a rare poison was found in his stomach from the deadly Gelasmium genus of plants. After his death, an acquaintance revealed to the press that Pereplinsky's name had been put on a hit list by the perpetrators of the theft that he had exposed. He was still providing information to investigators probing the case when he died. According to a judicial inquiry, Russia's domestic intelligence agency, FSB, may have played a role in his death.
That's crazy.
So there you go. So he opened a can of worms on the Russian government, trying to steal $230 million, basically, and then moved to Britain, fled to Britain, and in 2012 he was poisoned.
That's
similar to... What was it, last year, this year?
Yeah, in like Salisbury or something like that.
Yeah, wasn't it the daughter and the father were found on a bench?
Yeah, I think it was that was like the Novichok agent poison as soon as it touches your skin.
That's mad.
Yeah, and it's like the Russians obviously deny involvement in that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's very similar to that.
So I have the ISIS, or Islamic State whistleblower. Serna Shim was a naturalized American citizen who worked as a reporter for an Iranian news organization called Press TV. In October 2014, she was sent to the border between Turkey and Syria to report on the conflict between Iraqi Kurdish forces and ISIS, at the Islamic militants attempted to capture a Syrian town. While stationed at the border, Shim reported that ISIS-affiliated Al-Qaeda militants were being smuggled over the Turkish border into Syria by hiding in the back of aid vehicles owned by non-governmental organizations. Some of these vehicles had emblems of the World Food Organization, part of the United Nations humanitarian branch. These activities suggested that the government of Turkey was sheltering and supporting ISIS. Turkey had previously refused to assist Kurdish fighters in their war against ISIS. Other reports suggested that Turkey had trained ISIS militants and supplied key intelligence information that give them an advantage when fighting the Iraqi Kurdish army. After Shim reported on the ISIS militants being moved from the UN trucks to, from Turkey to Syria, she was being accused by Turkey's intelligence agency as being a foreign spy. This frightened Shim because Turkey had been labelled by the reporters without borders as the world's largest prison for journalists. 2 days later, she was returning to her hotel in Surak, Turkey, when her rental car suddenly collided head-on with a large cement mixer truck. She died in the crash.
Sakes.
Unbelievable.
Turkey's another one. Hey? That's, what do you call him? The Prime Minister, President of it.
Oh, yes. Who is that guy?
Oh, I fucking forget.
But
he is, yeah.
Yeah.
The shit they're up to.
Yeah. The press called...
They're still fighting the Kurds, aren't they,
yeah.
as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, still going. Press TV called the car accident suspicious and also claimed that the journalist had been assassinated by the government of Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip
Erdogan. Erdogan, yeah, that's the one.
After the crash, the driver of the cement truck that killed Shim was arrested, but he soon disappeared.
Probably dead as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking desperate life.
Madness, isn't it? Barry Seal. A gifted pilot, Barry Seal used his personal plane to smuggle cocaine for the Medellin drug cartel. Seal claimed that he had earned up to $100 million and smuggled as much as $5 billion worth of cocaine into the US. After he was indicted on conspiracy. No.
Indicted?
Is it indicted on conspiracy to smuggle quaaludes into Florida in 1984, he tried to cut a deal to avoid jail time. When the U.S. attorney heading the case refused to drop all charges in exchange for Seal's work as an informant, Seal hopped in his laser jet and flew to the White House. There he met with members of the Reagan administration, including Vice President George H.W. Bush's Task Force on Crime.
Fuck.
The task force made Steel an undercover DEA operative and supplied him with military cargo plane to smuggle cocaine from Nicaragua into the US as part of a sting operation. The cocaine in Steel's plane was allegedly provided by the Sandinista government shortly before the Reagan administration became embroiled in the Iran-Contra scandal for illegally supplying arms and assistance to the Sandinists' enemies, the Contras.
The Iran-Contra scandal as well, just briefly, was the same scandal that Saudi Arabian arms dealer that Epstein worked for was involved with.
Really?
Yes. It was the Iran-Contra.
It's all connected. Holy shit.
That's whenever governments get up to some bad things.
Hidden cameras in the plane took photographs of the smuggling operation. The Reagan administration distributed the photographs to the press, later using them to try to justify arming the Contras. At this time, Barry Seal also worked for the CIA, which had allegedly been sponsoring Contra groups that smuggled cocaine into the US. The money from drug sales then allegedly funded the Contras. If true, this meant that the CIA was backing a drug smuggling operation into the US. Seal was now a free man who did community service instead of jail time for the crimes he committed. However, the leak of information showed Seal's face and allowed the cartel to identify him as a traitor. Before Seal could begin his public service work at Salvation Army in Louisiana, he was found dead in his car with multiple bullet wounds riddling his body.
Fuck.
At the time of his death, Seal purportedly had the personal, unlisted phone number of Vice President Bush in his wallet.
That's insane.
That's incredible.
That is crazy.
I know.
The cartel got him?
Cartel got him. Yeah. Yeah. Number two, the AMIA bombing investigation.
AMIA?
Yeah. In 1994, the AMIA terrorist attack was the most lethal bombing in Argentina's history, killing 85 people and injuring over 300. It occurred in one of the largest Jewish communities outside Israel, prompting the Israeli government to send Mossad agents to Argentina to investigate the attack. The investigation was stalled by alleged incompetence and cover-ups. In September 2004, all suspects tied to Buenos Aires and its police force were found not guilty of any wrongdoing. The judge who made that ruling was impeached the following year because of his grave mishandling of the case. The not guilty verdict sparked public outrage and resulting in a new investigation into the bombings headed by lawyer Alberto Niesman. Niesman soon claimed that Iran had orchestrated the terror attacks and Hezbollah had carried it out. Supposedly, the attack was spurred by Argentinian suspension of a contract to supply nuclear technology to Iran. Nisman, who accused Argentine politicians, including President Cristina Kirchner, of deliberately hiding from the public, the identity of the Iranians involved in the bombing. All charges against the president were later dismissed by an appeals court. Nisman published a nearly 300-page report on his investigation, but just a few hours before he was scheduled to testify about his findings in front of Argentina's Congress, he was found dead in his home from a single gunshot to the head.
Yeah.
There was no signs of forced entry into his home, but a hidden entrance was open. An autopsy ruled that Nisman's death was suicide, even though there was no gunpowder residue on his hands. Another autopsy undertaken at the request of Nisman's wife found that there was no muscular spasm in his right hand, which would have been necessary to fire the gun. His body also appeared to have been moved after his death.
Jesus Christ, like.
Video footage released 5 months after allegedly showed Argentine police tampering with evidence at the scene of Nisman's death. His computer had also been accessed over 60 times after he died.
Fuck me.
Unreal. And finally, the Iraq War whistleblower. In 2003, David Kelly, a weapons inspector for the British government, was thrust into the public spotlight when BBC journalist Andrew Gilligan published their off-the-record conversation revealing that the British government's investigators had not found any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, despite the Bush administration's claims otherwise. So that was their reason for invading Iraq in the first place. They've got weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah. IMDs.
Mm-hmm. This BBC journalist reported then that obviously
did not.
Unknown to Kelly, the journalist then published the information that he had received from Kelly and cited him as the source. The British American public, if not the world altogether, was outraged at the revelation, which suggested that the British administration and the British government were lying about their reasons for invading Iraq. Kelly was summoned to appear at a committee hearing at British Parliament on July 15th, 2003. He was rigorously questioned about his conversation with the BBC journalist and why it was revealed to the public. Around the same time, Kelly met with British Ambassador David Broucher. Kelly told Broucher that he had promised Iraqi officials that there would be no war if they cooperated, but that he would probably be found dead if Iraq were invaded. 2 days after Kelly's testimony to the British Parliament, he was found dead outside his home.
Fuck me.
He had answered some emails that morning and then left for his morning walk. Kelly's body was found in a woodland area about 1.5 kilometres from his home. He had ingested 29 pain pills and his left wrist was slashed with a knife he had owned since childhood. An investigation was launched into the suspicious circumstances surrounding his death. The official conclusion was that Kelly had committed suicide. After the announcement, his medical reports were sealed from public view for 70 years. However, a series of doctors published a rebuttal of the case of the death in The Guardian, arguing that the cuts in Kelly's wrist could not have resulted in a fatal amount of blood loss. They also claimed that the amount of painkillers that Kelly had ingested were not enough to kill him. As a result, Dr. Andrew Watt told British authorities that he believed that Kelly had been murdered.
Fucking hell. That happened, like, that's the Iraq War. Like, what?
That's the Iraq War, 2004. Fuck 15 years ago. Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? Whistleblowers just being silenced everywhere. I wrote down a couple of honourable mentions, but I'm not really going to talk about them. But
honourable mentions.
So WikiLeaks, remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Although, obviously, they're not dead. Those guys haven't been...
What's his name? I forget him. I can't remember him.
Probably. I forget what it is. Those guys.
Edward Snowden. Yeah.
That's right.
CIA mass surveillance.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Was he a whistleblower?
Well, not really whistleblower, but I mean, he got shot before he got to...
Yes. He got to ever testify against killing
JFK, you know?
Did he kill JFK? Was there something else involved?
Exactly. We'll never know now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some of that stuff's fascinating, though, you know?
When you said Lee Harvey Oswald, I don't know why I thought it was the one who killed Lincoln, and I was like...
Yeah. What? That's James Wilkes Booth or something.
That's what it was,
Was he ever killed? Was he killed?
Don't know.
But that's great, especially that Iraq War one, because that's like the turning point in like what has happened around the world. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, very recent as well, relatively recent.
Yeah, fresh in everybody's minds. Like that came off 9/11 and stuff. You know,
it's fucking crazy.
Unreal.
It is. You know, it's like whenever you talk about it in isolation, you're like this one case, Epstein. Like it sounds, oh, are we being naive with these conspiracy theories, blah blah blah. But then you're just like, there's a handful of things that happened. It's happened before, it'll happen again.
Exactly, it's got to continue.
People with power are getting in trouble, they do whatever they need to do.
To cover it up.
Cover it up, it's just insane. Like,
it's unreal. But thank you very much for doing your research on Epstein, dude. That was thoroughly enjoyable, I love that. We hope you enjoy that too, and hope that we've educated you to making a better decision. as to whether.
Well, whatever you believe about Epstein.
We'd like to actually hear what you believe in.
Yeah.
What,
did Epstein kill himself?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, he didn't. And remember then, you can find the video version of the podcast over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast or take us with you on the go and hear all of our conspiracies by finding us in any podcast hosting service. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast. Get in touch with us through any number of ways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Through Twitter, Instagram.
Facebook
using the handle Empty Promise Podcast or our email, which is...
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
There we go. Right. That's the bulk wrapped up.
That's it.
Let's talk a little bit about our weeks, what you've been up to.
All right, okay.
Okay, good.
Last couple of weeks.
Wrap up this podcast with... Personal with the podcast.
Personal with the podcast.
This is my favorite part of the show.
That's good.
Personally. I know this is so bad. You can't even adjust the mics, but the whole fucking shelf is going to come down. Tell me what you've been up to.
I haven't been up to a tower amount, I suppose. Can't even think of one significant thing I've done. Christmas markets have arrived in Belfast.
Have you been? I was going to talk to you about
that. They arrived only yesterday and I had to come home last night. Right, so I will be going this evening. We'll be going this evening.
Ooh.
Going to pick up some cookie dough.
Oh,
get some
that's the cookie dough in like the tray and they put like shut over it.
It's just like a fucking cigar cookie that they put in the oven. They took out when it was halfway done and kept just molten. Just kept it completely like liquid nearly. Oh, so good.
Will you send me a picture of it if you have one?
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, I will send you a picture.
That'd be great, actually.
So yeah, we're going to go there tonight and check that place out.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. It'll be fun. But no, that's what we're going to do. I haven't actually done anything really, sort of.
Just quiet kind of week.
It's been quiet. I've been working away. Like in,
how's work?
Yeah, it works fine. Works fine. I'm actually supposed to be fucking log on to work later.
Oh, yeah?
Check some stuff, yeah. But
what you got to do?
Yeah, you got to do it.
You were home last night for a steak dinner?
Yeah, went to Uluru in Armagh.
Oh, that where you ended up going?
Yeah, that's where we ended
up. Right, okay. Tell me about Uluru then.
It was good, yeah. It was tasty enough. It was got a fillet steak. It was tasty. Mm-hmm. I got like a brownie with ice cream.
Okay.
And Nutella and hazelnut. For dessert,
like?
It was very nice actually. The brownie, the brownie wasn't quite up to these standards.
Do you like those brownies?
They're pretty good.
They're pretty moist, yeah.
But the brownie we got was kind of like, you know, those like, you know, like a cakey brownie.
Yes,
it's quite, you know,
yes,
cakey. I like the really dense,
like,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
almost like fudgy brownie.
Exactly. Yeah. But they were kind of cakey.
I stand with you on that one. I prefer a fudgier brownie myself.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. But it was hot. Ice cream was cold. It was perfect little.
Do you
mix.
Like that mix?
Oh,
hot,
yeah.
Hot cold mix.
Oh, you need a hot cold.
I find it gives me a bit of a dicky tummy.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
But so good for the taste, Chris.
I guess. But my palate gets too confused.
You need hot, you need cold, you need hot brownie, cold ice cream. You need
hot
apple pie, cold custard.
Yeah.
Or cold apple pie, hot custard.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta mix it up.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You gotta have a bit of both.
Yeah, true, that's very true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Hot ice cream, cold brownie.
You can get the like baked ice cream. Do you ever see those?
No.
Like Eskimo Pie or something, I think it's
called. Oh, yes, yes, yeah, I have. Yeah. You got cut into it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen those.
It's pretty crazy.
Do you ever have an Arctic roll?
No. What's an Arctic roll?
Yeah, you look for Arctic roll. So it's like a slab, a circular slab of ice cream, but it's rolled in like a Swiss roll.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Is there like a sauce in between that or something?
No.
It's just rolled ice cream.
Rolled, it's fucking great.
Very nice.
Cut it in like slices.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I had some Oreo ice cream the other day. It was nice.
Ooh, what kind?
Oreo. It's Oreo flavored
like
ice cream.
A brand, or did you get it from like a shop? Or
no, it's
just the Oreo ice cream.
Yeah, it's like a Ben and Jerry's tub, except it's Oreo.
Oreo. Yeah, Oreo. Yeah.
You can get flake and Oreo. You can get a couple different ones. They're nice. I'm sorry. No, I haven't. We've been better with eating, like making dinners again. Haven't been eating as much takeaway.
Good.
I had a Domino's the other day. It was fine.
What'd you have?
Pepperoni pizza.
Do you have mushrooms on it?
No.
No? Because it's not the nation's favourite.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Yeah. I mean, people like it, but it's not the favourite.
No.
Had a bougie.
Oh, I've wanted the bougie.
Yesterday. It was pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty okay.
Just okay?
Yeah. I mean, because they used to do the pickled chicken. They did the pickled chicken over the summer, which is like the shredded,
like super rotisserie juicy chicken, isn't it?
No. I don't know what it is, actually. It's just super juicy and it's the best.
And now they don't do it no more?
No. It was limited time. I'm like, it's just not the same. Mm-hmm. It's just not the same.
So you just go for a regular chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to make do, you know what I mean?
It's a tough world. First world problems, but you know,
it's serious first world problems.
We have to make do with regular chicken.
But yeah, I know, like, life's been pretty quiet, which I suppose is not a bad way to be.
Yeah, I get it.
What about yourself?
Quite the same. I came off like a big work spree. So the last I talked to you, I just done a 24-hour shift.
Oh, yes, I remember.
I was continuing on from that. I have one day off after that, and then I was back in. So it was like a 10-day stint, and it was mostly closes, which is like minimum 10-hour shifts.
Ugh.
They were quite, it got to me after a while. The only good thing about a closed shift is that you can lie in a bit in the morning. You know, you're not up first thing. But then on top of that, like, the Christmas music has started to work.
It's just... I got the temptation to listen to some Christmas music there about a week ago, and I didn't, but I would have.
Thank you for forwarding me Michael Giacchino's Dublin
concert.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. Me and Dee went to see Michael Giacchino, the orchestrator. Yeah.
Yes. What is it?
Composer?
Composer,
the
yes.
Composer.
The orchestrator.
The orchestrator, yeah. Of the Lost soundtrack and Star Wars music and
Star Trek.
I think he also did Up, the music in Up.
He did. He's doing Jurassic World and Spider-Man.
He's done a lot. He's done a lot of music. Yeah. We went to see the Lost concert.
His best music, of course. It's awesome.
It's now available on Spotify.
Yep. You know, to get on, like, on vinyl and stuff.
You'll hear us clapping.
Yeah, that's our claps.
But my God, it hit me in the feels.
I know. So good. So good.
Thank you for forwarding that.
No problem.
That's me. What else have we been doing? So I've been reading Tools of the Titans, I was telling you, this book over here.
Yes.
Timothy Ferris's Tools of the Titans. I highly recommend that book to everybody. What it is a collection of like 2 pages long almost of he has spoke to icons, billionaires, sports performers, people at the top in their field.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically just finds the little quirky things that they do every day that they believe has brought them to where they are.
Oh yeah. Big success.
So he talks to one example, Tony Robbins, motivational speaker kind of guy. And he was he takes cold showers in the morning and he believes this is good, blah, blah. And then Tim Ferriss gives his opinion on him taking cold showers and how it helps him. People talking about journalism and different stretches they do and just all different kinds of crazy shit. It's a very, very good book. Yeah, you should read that book.
So it's like a Machiavelli book. Machiavelli does all those things.
Yeah, exactly. Like little thing. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like one big giant Machiavelli challenge. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Do you watch a lot of Machiavelli stuff now?
I watched a fair bit of him for a while there and I would watch now the video he brings up, the most recent ones.
Did you see the guy who did all Machiavelli's challenges at once?
No.
He just did them in 1 month. So he took all the challenges that he did and just did them all at once.
That's pretty good.
So he was waking up every morning at 5, cold shower, no sugar.
No caffeine,
everything at once.
Fuck that, hey.
Credit that guy.
No, see, I was reading a thing. It was successful people wake up at 5 a.m. And I was oh, that's good and all. And then it was it's a universal rule. Everyone knows it. The only people who don't follow it are, these really successful people who wake up at 8 a.m.
Yeah,
and those people stand by it, but they're not right because the most successful people in the world are these people, and these people sleep until about 10. And it's
people
do what works for them, but it's
exactly. Yeah.
If you can just fucking get up.
you're doing well getting up out of bed. Yeah.
Actually, funny enough, I started reading and I did not realize the book is an absolute behemoth of a fucking thing. It's called The Noonday Demon. Have you ever heard of that?
The Noonday Demon.
By Andrew Solomon. It's about depression.
Oh.
And it's fucking it was on the Guardian's top books of the century. And it is an absolute. It's right. What
it's
is
like
it?
A Steve Jobs book there.
It's right? That Steve's. It is that the thickness of that Steve Jobs book. The font is small and the page is completely taken up. And it's fucking insane.
That would be one hell of
a very personal story. Because I watched a TED talk about him.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, because he obviously suffers from major depression. And he's written about his own personal experience. But he has went and he's done all the research, all the journalism, all the science. He's looked it all up. And it's just this.
What's it called? The Noonday Demon?
The Noonday Demon, yeah. But I got it. And I was like, I'm going to read it eventually. But I also got The Girl with...
The Dragon Tattoo?
Yeah, finished it. I got the Girl Who Plays With Fire, so the second one. I started reading it, and I'm kind of just need something. I just need a bit of
light.
Fiction in my life.
Of course, yeah.
I'll come back to it, but it's a fucking hell of a read. But
wow. I might look for that. That would be such an accomplished read if you got through that. You know what I mean?
It's one of those books that in this, particularly in this generation, people should read and understand because it's one of those things. It's
just hits you like a brick.
Yeah. And he's someone who suffers from depression. Yeah. And if you don't, you know someone
it's
who
just
knows
so
someone.
It's so common nowadays.
Exactly. You know? And it's this is the book we need to read.
Yeah. Excellent.
But I forget why I brought that up. Actually.
Good. I'm glad you did. I touched a spider at work this week.
You touched a spider?
Yeah. I have an immense phobia of spiders.
Oh, right. Was this like a I have to do this to get over it thing?
Almost. So it was just in the middle of the, like, coming out of like our warehouse in the shop onto the shop floor. There was this big fucker of a spider sitting on the floor. Like, he was coming in for the winter.
He's like, I mean, it's going to be comfortable.
Big bendy legs. And normally I just freak out, stand on him, and then
fuck off.
Clean myself down because of
shower.
But I watched him for a while and he wouldn't move. So I like edged him with my foot. And I think I scared him because he froze still. So I got down and I like edged him with my hand. Just against the door. I saved him. That was a big accomplishment for me this week because I'm petrified of spiders.
That's good.
I just thought I'd bring that one up.
Fighting your fears, Chris.
Went out for drinks with the old, like my old management team from work. Good to see those guys again.
Is this still Home Bargains?
Yeah, still in Home Bargains, but the team that was there whenever I first joined.
Gotcha.
One of the guys was traveling around the world there for a while. My other managers moved on, so we all got together, went for some drinks. It was very nice. And then the next day, I went straight to the steam room in Armagh.
You steamed up?
Oh, it was a hell of an experience.
Is that in?
Yeah, I went to the leisure. I went to the leisure center instead.
Okay.
They've got like this relaxation suite. Really cool. So they got like a jacuzzi. And then the other side, they have the exact kind of same shape of jacuzzi, same kind of format, only it's ice cold water. It's like a plunge pool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they have a sauna, a steam room, and like a shower in between. And I went steam room,
steamed myself up. Jacuzzi, ice pool.
That's what I did. I went steam room, ice pool, steam room, jacuzzi, finished.
It's hot cold.
Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, there we go. Back to hot cold. After that, then we got a Fryer Tux. I just got a chip. It was lovely. I just like chips.
I just got a chip. That's the worst thing I've heard all day.
Well. And then I got some snacks last night and just lay up. Last night I watched the Battle of the Five Armies, The Hobbit. It was just on TV.
Right, very good.
Flicked over. Wasn't too into it, then got into it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It's my least favorite of the Hobbit movies, but still.
That's fine.
Yeah, it was a good watch. And I started watching The Haunting of Hill House. Have you watched it?
No.
Fuck me, Diaz.
It's a good show, yeah. Though.
So I got recommended this by the main man. He's like, you have to watch this. Go and watch this. So I was like, right, okay. Me and my brother sat down and we watched the first episode. It is fucked up. It is a great show.
I remember when it came out, people were raving about it.
And the best thing, it's just a really good story. Yeah, like a really good story. We've only watched one episode.
It's kind of set like between a couple of generations.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly it. So you have like the kids, like it's showing like what happened in the house.
Uh-huh.
And then it's going like their lives now.
Yes.
It's so good. So we're going to watch another episode or two now today.
We're watching Orphan Black at the minute.
What's that?
Orphan Black. It's like a BBC America show.
Right.
It's about... It's not really a spoiler. It's about clones.
Okay.
So it's like this girl is walking in a train station. Uh-huh. She walks up to a perfect identical version of herself, staring, looking at herself. Uh-huh. She's like, what the fuck is this? And then that person jumps in front of the train and leaves a bag. And then she picks up the bag and takes it with her. And she finds out that there's a clone of her and this whole secret life. And it's amazing. There's just the main actress is playing
numerous
six
people. Wow. Okay.
And she's playing them. And sometimes she's playing another person playing another clone.
It's like Inception.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very good. She's just a very talented actress.
Okay.
And it's just
famous?
Mad famous. She's best known for this, obviously. Okay. But very good. It's just one of those shows. It's kind of like Prison Break and Lost. It's just like every episode ends with just that little tease about what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh man, I got to see what's coming up.
Right.
It's good.
And it's on
way.
Netflix?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
Okay.
It's on Netflix, yeah.
I'm going to continue watching this Haunting and then I don't know what I'm going to go to next. I want something good. I hear that Mindhunter. Is that what it's called?
Mindhunter, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's good. I haven't finished season two of it yet either. Crying out loud.
And today I think I'm going to meet some work ones and we're going to go for a Five Guys.
And what are you going to have?
Fries.
Five Guys.
I love their fries.
Fries are good, yeah.
Some juice as well. It'd be nice.
Fair play.
I
get a Five Guys too.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're going for a thing tonight. That's right.
The Christmas market?
Yeah. So we'll get something there. Something tasty.
Nice. Something tasty. I thought I had something else. So I was getting my haircut, my man, a couple of days ago. And he recommended we do a podcast from his store.
From the barbershop.
So he's come in, he'll open it up on a Sunday when no one is in. And the three of us will sit down and we'll do a podcast.
We'll talk about all things barber.
I think that would be a, that'd be pretty good. He says barber that we need a really juicy topic. It has to be a big juicy topic, like something like, whoa, this is
It's like top 10 hairstyles.
Oh. Top 10 hairstyles a year.
Something barber related, surely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are you sitting in a barber shop? It's the best place to talk about.
I mean, it's a pretty good setup we have in there. Yeah.
Can we sit at the mirrors?
That would be three seats. Yeah. That would be pretty cool. Like, just camera behind pointing at the mirror. Yeah. Yeah, we could set that up.
It'll work.
Yeah. So so we gotta do that. We'll do that some Sunday. That's all I really have. It was quite
One thing you had to mention, a YouGov poll.
YouGov poll. That's
that you
right.
wanted to mention.
Last week in the podcast, you mentioned YouGov's poll on the nation's favorite, supposedly favorite pizza topping.
Pizza top, which was mushroom.
This week I have the nation. No. That's not mushroom. Not mushroom. This week I have the nation's favorite, Britain's favorite top five biscuits.
Top five biscuits.
Top five biscuits.
Okay, okay, okay.
How do you want me to do this? I can count down 5 to 4. Do you want to guess them?
I'll try and guess the top one.
Try to get. Okay, yeah.
Okay, because I think I have. I was going to go with rich tea because it's going with the mushroom angle. It's rich, like,
yeah.
Is it just the most common, the one people will eat the most?
I can tell you that rich tea is not it.
Is it the top five?
Didn't make it in the top
five.
No.
And then I am.
No.
I got one more.
Here was my original thought. What would make it in? Custard cream.
Custard cream?
You know?
Okay.
Didn't make it top five.
Hobnob?
Didn't make it top five.
Okay, all right. Hit me up. Hit me up with this then.
Number five, we have McVitie's Original Digestive.
Digestive!
I know. Yeah,
right. Enough.
That's number five. Number four, a Jaffa Cake.
It's a cake, not a biscuit.
Exactly. Number three, Cadbury Fingers.
Really?
Yeah. At 77% of the vote. Right. Number two, Cadbury's Milk Chocolate Digestive. Has to be Cadbury's.
I've never had a Cadbury's milk.
Neither have I.
I've always had McVitie's.
But number one, McVitie's Milk Chocolate Digestive.
Shit.
With 82% of the poll.
Fuck. Should have thought of that. Taking. Realistically.
Do you agree with that? McVitie's Milk Chocolate Digestive.
They're pretty delicious.
They are. They're addictive.
Yeah.
I keep eating them. But custard cream, I want to put up there.
Custard cream's good.
I like a bourbon as well.
I was going to say a bourbon. I love a bourbon. They're good.
Yeah.
Custard cream would be a bit better than a bourbon, to be
fair. You think?
Yeah, I
prefer the bourbon, I think.
And the custard cream, the bourbon's got sickening because it's the chocolate.
Mm.
With the custard cream, kind of, you could eat more.
Maybe coconut rings, I like them as well. They're quite good.
Oh, they're all right. Jammy Dodgers.
Jammy Dodgers, that's a big one, yeah.
Good. There's some good biscuits out there. There are good biscuits.
Do you like them?
Yeah.
I don't. I don't like a pink wafer. So sweet. I think they're sickening, yeah.
Suppose they do get sickening after a while.
Viscount? You know, the wraps.
Yeah, I think I have an issue with Viscounts because if you don't have them like sealed in a wrapper, they seem to get into all your other biscuits.
They're like the minty?
Yeah,
they are proper, like they're potent.
Yeah. Why the fuck am I, my digestive tasting like?
Mint, yeah, I know.
I don't eat a lot of biscuits anymore though.
I'm trying to think, do I eat a lot of biscuits?
I think it's wrong to eat biscuits without tea.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Or with like some kind of hot drink?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that.
Cookies and
Oreo surely would have got in there. Oreos is a
that
big
would be
biscuit.
The one we eat the most actually would be Oreos. Maybe it's a bit American still. It's taking a while to get
get Oreos a cute big right now. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Have you had the Cadbury's chocolate melt?
Don't think so.
Okay, you want to go down Home Bargains is probably the best place you can get. They're like a Cadbury, they're like a cookie, but it tells you on the packet, have them warmed up, put them in the microwave for 10 seconds.
So
different
good.
Breed of biscuit.
Different breed, lads.
Very, very good cookies.
I get some good cookies tonight.
Yeah, I didn't fully agree with that list, but I understood some of it. Jaffa cakes, I enjoy.
Oh, Jaffa cakes are good.
Jaffa
they're
cakes
a good biscuit.
Are a very good biscuit. Yeah. Even though they're a cake.
Technically,
they are a cake. They are a cake.
It's in the name, guys.
Yeah, it isn't. Yeah.
It's a mini cake.
The best way to think of this is if you leave a cake and a biscuit sitting out exposed to the air.
Yeah.
A Jaffa cake will do the same thing as a cake
hard.
Will. Yeah, and a biscuit will go soft.
Yeah. That's why they won their court case or something.
Was
like
it?
That.
Yeah.
I think so.
No, well, it makes sense.
It was like, because cakes get taxed different than biscuits.
Ah.
And they wanted to get taxed as cakes.
As a cake.
Yeah. So they won.
Well, that makes sense.
Or maybe they convinced them that they were a biscuit. I don't know. They
it's
won
like
it.
The stupid fucking Pringles not being a crisp.
That's because it doesn't contain enough potato, is it?
Potato, yeah. It's like 40% potato.
So, yeah, it's not a crisp.
It's a biscuit.
What?
It classes as a biscuit.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah. Does it have to go in the biscuit aisle?
Well, we don't put ours in the biscuit aisle. We put them in the crisp aisle. Yeah. People would be very confused if we did that. You know?
That's fucking hilarious.
But if we did start merchandising the way things were supposedly made or taxed, things would be so different in this country.
It would be very confusing shop.
It would be. That's it. I don't have much else. Oh, we got back. Go jump back to that question.
The question. Fear. Yeah. The one I was thinking of, right? And so, I don't know. Was it like?
Well, I'll reiterate the question real
okay,
quick.
Okay. Yeah. Hit me up.
What is your most terrifying, we need to leave now, random rush of fear you've ever felt? I don't really expose myself to that much like
danger
fear or drama danger that I need yeah. to think, oh shit, I have to leave. But one definitely stands out in my mind. I think it probably stands out in your mind as well.
Is this up the road there?
The house years ago, yeah. Caroline. Yes, of course. Yeah. That's the one that I yeah. that I believe in.
Why we were doing that, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'll tell the story. But so years ago, I used to live in this house, and we all loved it. And then we moved house, and then we decided that it'd be fun to go back and camp around the house.
In the house.
Yeah, we said we'd go back to the house, and then we realized we could get into the house. So we opened up a window, and we got into this house that was abandoned. It was owned by farmers. So we get into the house, we took all our supplies into the house, and we're like, if we wait to dark, we should be good to go, because mm-hmm. nobody would be near the house. Nobody should be near the house.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, that's fair enough. Now, this house had like a bit of like a yard around it, and then like a driveway down at the end of the driveway was like a cattle grid, which made noise when you drove over it. We were all inside the house, and we were just, there was what, like four or five of us?
Yeah. Maybe?
All in this one room. Like, house has been completely cleared out. It's an abandoned house, but still in decent nick. And we're all sitting there and we're chatting. And next thing, we hear a car drive over the cattle grid.
Yeah.
And just that set up the fear. Yeah, it drives up towards the house. And the sheer terror and fear that just overcame. Like,
we're going to get caught in a fucking house.
Yeah. Like breaking an entrance.
Like farmers.
Yeah.
Who fucking crack up at us.
Yeah. So we just hid. We just hid real low, real quiet. They came around back of the house. They did whatever they had to do.
Because we were at the windows were wide open. Like,
yeah.
You could have just locked in and seen us stood there like a pack of idiots.
Idiots, yeah. So we froze, we waited for them to leave, and then we were so consumed by this fear that there could be farmers in any of the surrounding fields watching the house.
We sat tight for like a...
So we waited until dark. We literally waited and watched every movement until dark.
So scared. Like.
And then the second dark came, we out the window and away like a flash through the fields.
So such a silly thing, like
it's a silly. Yeah, looking back at it, it's so.
But like, we were in that house, and like I think there was electricity and stuff as well.
Oh yeah,
we
were like, still all fully working.
We were gonna sit there all night and fucking
have a good laugh,
have a good time.
But that was proper fear that took me over when I heard the car driving up to the house. That was a shit me quick moment.
It was just so funny because it's like house has been abandoned. People just don't go up there anymore. They just don't, and then. The cattle grid goes and it's like, what the fuck are they doing up here?
Yeah,
exactly. I think they were like looking around the house in like the sort of sheds and stuff around it, but it was still like in our mind it was like they're gonna come in here, they're gonna walk through that door, they're gonna see us stood here like a idiots.
Like I had the key and that door turned or something. Oh, like
we I were, think I would have shit would have been
shit the nest.
Mess in my trousers.
Feces, yes. I can't think of any others. I don't really think that's like we need to get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't really
Really, like just like sometimes you're just like, I want to get out of here.
I live quite a sheltered life, I guess you could say. But no. It's something to have a think about, I guess, for the next podcast. In case there's another one. Yeah. Closing thoughts. You got any closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
We need a closing ceremony. That's what we need in this podcast. Ooh,
fireworks and shit?
Oh, aye. Fireworks are going off a lot. It was Halloween. I don't know. We did our last podcast after Halloween.
Did we?
Still fireworks going off around Belfast for whatever reason. Getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah.
Feeling it now. It's like, whenever Black Friday happens, that'll be it. That'll be the start of it then. I have to do the shopping.
I know.
Get that all sussed out. I'm actually excited because me and Laura in the house, we're obviously going to decorate and stuff. Like, I've never done that before outside of home.
Yeah, home. That's a big thing.
So it'll be interesting. Get a tree and all. It'll be fun.
Oh, we're going to have to do another Christmas shop video. Remember we did last year?
Yeah.
Me and Sinker went and gangbang.
Last year, was it?
A couple years ago. 2 years ago now, yeah.
Yeah, go get him a gangbang.
Yeah.
And... do shopping, I guess.
That was good. That was a good time.
That was good time.
I enjoyed that,
Get our Christmas jumpers going.
We should drive further afield, though. We'll just drive to Belfast or something.
Yeah, should do Belfast.
And then that way we can do like a road trip video. Because we wanted to do that for a while. No, I have nothing. Nothing planned. I'm off now to Wednesday. So I'm going to have a nice couple of days off and just chill, relax.
I'm planning on taking every Monday in December off again.
That's a phenomenal plan. Yeah,
did that last year as well.
Yeah, that's a great plan, Dee.
That's the plan.
I envy you who can work the Monday to Friday week. That's a great plan, yeah. Apart from that, I got nothing else. Remember you'll find the audio version on any podcast hosting service. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast. You'll find the video version over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. And you can email us at
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
Whenever I go to say that, it's always coopbros@gmail. That keeps popping into my head. I'm like, this isn't it. And then Excite Gaming starts popping into my head. We've had a lot of handles.
We go by a lot of names.
Thank you to everybody who's tuned in this week and all the rest of the weeks. We will see you all for episode 90 of the podcast next week. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Goodbye and God bless.
All the best.
Bye-bye.